so the people inside could monitor who entered and exited the Ville. From his last visit, Doc knew that inside the small room were the pulleys and wheels controlling the portcullis and drawbridge, which was down at the present, probably to let the mounted Sekhmen back inside after chilling Ryan. But if Overton had hidden troops in the woods, it also allowed them access into Front Royal. The old man knew in cold certainty that was big trouble. The bridge had to be raised immediately.
"Excuse me, young man."
Doc hobbled closer, smacking his gums. His frock coat hid the presence of the deadly Lama, and hopefully he resembled just some old white hair, confused by all the loud noises.
"Young man?"
"Piss off, Grandpa."
The blue shirt cradled a Kalashnikov in his arms.
"Gate is closed by order of Baron Overton."
"Okay."
Doc smiled amiably, still walking closer. Christie might be tied up in a corner somewhere. He had to get a better look inside the kiosk.
"Say, are you Jimmy?"
"Who? Ain't nobody here by that name."
"Go home, Gramps. This is men's work."
"Jimmy?"
Doc peered inside the kiosk. There was only a single person behind the grilled window, and the Oriental nearly fell over his chair in his haste to draw a weapon.
"Kill that man! He is one of Ryan's men!"
Doc dove to the ground, drawing and firing the Big Lama twice, the thundering booms filling the confines of the passage with volumes of black smoke. There was a rush of boots, and Doc shifted position, firing twice more. This time he heard screams of pain. A movement in the smoke made him jerk to the side, and a shiny bayonet at the end of a Kalashnikov stabbed past his head, missing by an inch. Grabbing the rifle barrel, Doc used it to guide his aim and shot twice at point-blank range, high and then low. Still clutching his weapon, the Sekhmen reeled backward, bleeding from the neck and belly.
"That's six, Grandpa."
A grinning corporal stepped into view from the smoke.
"That wheel gun is empty. Get him!"
The Sekhmen charged, with two privates bracketing the rush to forestall any attempts at escape by the unarmed white hair. Doc chose his targets and fired three additional rounds from the oversized blaster, shooting the blues in cold blood. The corporal died with an expression of total shock, completely unable to comprehend how any wheel gun could fire more than six rounds.
"Now that trick gun is out!"
Key rose from behind the grilled barrier. Switching the selector pin to the second barrel of the Civil War hand cannon, Doc leveled the blaster at the chief of the Sekhmen.
"Freeze!"
He sneered in contempt at the feeble bluff, then saw the raw determination in the white hair's face and clawed for his own blaster. The stubby 63 caliber smoothbore shotgun vomited lead and smoke, a barrage of pellets hitting the stonework and bars of the window. Screaming, he clawed at the ruin of his face, teeth shattered, blood squirting with every heartbeat, one eyeball dangling on his cheek at the end of its cord. Half blind, the man slammed shut the door and twisted the key in the lock, his hands slipping in the volumes of blood.
"Never get in!"
Arm extended, Doc lunged at the bars, the Spanish sword darting between the bars and stabbing the Sekhmen directly in the heart. The twitching man exhaled once, a rattle sounding in his torn throat, and he collapsed out of sight. Fishing about with a gory blade, Doc managed to catch the ring of keys and delicately haul it through the bars. Unlocking the door across the passageway, he dragged the bodies into the storage room, then opened the kiosk and took a position behind the barred window with a stack of AK-47 blasters by his side. The only door to the Ville was again under Nathan's control, and Overton would get no fresh troops from outside. That was a major point in their favor of regaining control of the Ville, but his main objective hadn't been achieved.
Where could Christie be?
Doc watched both directions of the tunnel while reloading the Lama with expert speed. Ryan, J.B., Nathan, and the others converged on the barracks, weapons at the ready. The thick door was ajar, the interior black and smoky from the earlier fire. Suddenly, cheering sounded from above, and the armed troops looked up to see the villagers waving at them from the second and third story windows.
"Shut up! Want to tell the bastards where we are?"
The people recoiled in fear and closed the window shutters in a series of wooden bangs.
"We'll cover the street."
Nathan hoisted his weapon.
"Take five of my men and see what you can find. Even one more blaster would be a big help."
Agreed, but I'll take four men in a standard two-on-two defense formation.
Ryan slung the Steyr and drew his six-hour.
Ready?
The brown shirts looked blankly at Ryan, unsure of where to go or what to do.
Fire blast. You four watch each other's asses. I'm on point, and JB covers the rear.
Go.
JB leveled his Uzi. Swift and silent, the six men entered the damaged building. The barracks was completely different from when they were last there only hours earlier. Corpses lay underfoot everywhere, and the fire from the claymore had consumed huge sections of the structure until the sky was visible in most areas. In the front, the blaster rack was burned to ashes, the remaining weapons destroyed by the heat. However, several boxes of ammo had fallen free and survived the ravages of the flames. The Sekhmen gathered the crumbling boxes eagerly, filling their pockets with the shiny brass shells. Outside the bunk room, the stack of blasters in the hallway was untouched, merely covered with hot ash. The excited Sekhmen gathered armloads of the precious weapons, and two carried the first batch outside to the waiting troops. Standing dangerously near the sagging doorway, Ryan could see that beds and the floor of the room had tumbled into the watery basement, swamping the cesspool and masking its purpose. Several roasted corpses lay amid the destruction, their clothing reduced to ashes. It could have been anybody, until Ryan noticed the good boots. They were blue shirts, and Ryan hoped the suffocating smoke and awful heat of the fire had aced them, and not the fast, clean blast of the powerful claymore. Reaching the rear office, Ryan darted into the empty room first. The brown stayed in the hallway as JB followed his friend with a stubby Uzi leading the way. The office was bare, not even a corpse on the floor from the blues they had rendered unconscious.
Deserted.
Ryan shoved aside the chair to glance under the desk. Nobody was hiding there.
And they took damn near everything not nailed down. Overton must be going for a last stand at the keep.
Too bad for him.
JB moved to a corner of the charred office. Some timbers had fallen from the ceiling there, and he kicked away the covering to expose a partially melted plastic box.
Bingo.
He took the case and put it on the desk. Carefully inspecting for traps, the man then opened the lid and beamed at the weapon laying inside on a cushion of crunchy gray foam. The pistol was short and fat, a breech loader with a maw large enough to shove in a Gren. On either side were neat rows of color-coded, waxy cylinders.
That's a Navy flare gun.
Ryan holstered his blaster.
My father used to have one. He used it to signal troops during large battles so he wouldn't have to relay orders by shouting.
JB caressed the signal gun as if it were gold.
Yeah, a very pistol. I spotted it when we were here before. Had no use for the thing then, but now...
The wiry man smiled.
Now it's our key to killing Overton.
How the fuck are we going to bust open the keep with that?
Come on, I'll show you.
JB closed the case and started for the door. High above Front Royal, the blue shirts in the war room of the keep looked down at the ville below, sweeping the streets with the scopes of their long blasters, hunting for targets. There was a huge reward for the man who chilled Ryan or Nathan, and so they were concentrating their attention on anybody with black hair, man, woman, or child. Suddenly there was a flash of light from a nearby rooftop, and something streaked their way to hit the outside of the keep and bounce off the hard stone.
What the heck was that?
Must have been a homemade rocket. Piece of shit didn't even explode.
Well, we better close the shutters anyway.
The last Sekhmen who spoke bent out of the window and reached for the drawstring. Just then, another burning object streaked in to impact on the wall, spraying sparks everywhere. The sizzling blue light was blinding, and it gave off volumes of thick, sulfurous smoke. Raggedly coughing, the men knocked the object to the floor and stomped on it until the blazing illumination died, while another grabbed a bucket of sand from a wall niche. Then a second blue flare entered the war room and glanced off the closed door to land on the table, setting fire to the maps and charts. The nearest Sekhmen grabbed the flare with his bare hand and tossed it away, but missed the window. It hit the floor as a crimson-red flare smashed against the wall, spraying sparks and embers in a pyrotechnic geyser. Another red flare flew in to ricochet wildly, followed by a green, then a blue. The room was stifling with the awful heat, the air barely breathable from the reeking fumes. A chair caught on fire, then a blaster rack. Yanking the blasters off the burning wood, the blue shirts beat at the flames with blankets and threw buckets of sand onto the flares. One Sekhmen tried for the door to escape, but couldn't find the exit in the hellish light that seemed to pierce his closed eyelids. Another man shouted directions, the words lost in the loud sizzling of the incandescent rockets. More flares shot in, crashing into an oil lantern, smashing a glass